Hello and welcome to a discussion on the first devotion from the Reflections on Our Unique Callings email series that we've been putting out. My name is Ben Kratz. I'm the pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and also happen to serve as one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee, who is the group that has been putting out these devotions. So I'm going to go have the people that are sitting here at the table with me kind of go around and introduce themselves real quick before we get into the meat of our discussion today.
Thanks, Ben. My name is Dawn Schultz, and I serve as the chairwoman of the Wells Women's Ministry Committee and have the pleasure of working with very talented and God-blessed women who really look forward to nurturing, encouraging, and equipping women to use their gifts for service in God's kingdom. And there's so many ways that each one of the teams do that and just have seen the blessing it's been in the lives of women that I've served at my local congregation or at in the Synod at large. So just a pleasure to serve in that role.
Thanks, everybody. I am Christy Meyer. I also serve on the Wells Women's Ministry exec team. I've been serving since about January of 2020, so a year and a half or so. And I am the project manager for this devotional series. So I'm the one who kind of outlined it, put it together. And it's been an amazing blessing to see these devotions come through, be written, have conversations on these topics by confessional Lutheran women. And I am fantastically excited to be able to share those with you. In my spare time, I'm also enrolled in the MLC Master of Arts in Theology program and looking forward to writing my thesis next fall on unique callings of men and women, some way, shape, or form. So this has been a fun conversation to have and prep for that.
Hi, I'm Naomi Schmidt, and I have also served on the executive team for a while. And I have found that over the years of serving, it has been such a joy because part of our meeting together has always included Bible study. And we have had the opportunity to sit with seminary professors and pastors and teachers and really talk about God's word and really wrestle through how do all these passages fit together? How can we share this with other people and make it more clear? And so for years, we've been having these internal discussions. And I think we've just really realized that we want to share the conversation and we want to share what we've learned from God's word. And so just opening that door of conversation to really see how we can talk about it and what things are going to be really important to us. And so I'm too also very excited to just join into this conversation and get people involved.
I think the fun of it is that we always have conversation and we can talk and talk and talk. And that's what makes it fun to be doing this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, my guess is the people that are listening aren't here just to hear us talk about, you know, what we do as far as women's ministry. Probably already figured out that in the 600 words, at least in our first devotion, that we haven't explained everything that there is to know about the callings of men and women and how it applies in the church. So I guess, you know, outside of the 600 word devotions and the little bit longer devotion that's going to come later this week, I guess, what do you guys see as the purpose of this discussion? What are you hoping to get out of it? What are you hoping the listener is going to get out of it?
I personally, as Dawn said, as Naomi said, we've been having these conversations internally. We've been blessed to be able to sit at the feet of our pastoral advisors, of seminary professors, to be able to talk and have these conversations with each other, to grow and educate ourselves, and to just be immersed in the word. And I think that's one thing that I really am looking forward to and hoping that people will get out of this devotional series. That returning to the word and immersing yourself in it and doing some really deep study as to what this means and what we mean when we talk about unique callings of men and women, everything that encompasses. So getting into the word, like we said in the very first one, is one thing that I would hope for.
Absolutely. And I think what we found too is that when you're in the word and then you study and you grow and you begin to understand things and see things that are so beautiful in scripture, that a very natural reaction of that is to want to share it with someone. And so to have this place where we can take what we've learned and talk about it and put it into our own words and then talk about it with somebody else so that we can understand where they're coming from. What did they see? How would they think about this? And how is that different? And then to have the conversation, to just be able to say, this is a great thing. We all agree that this is God's word. We want to learn it. We want to understand it. And sometimes other people have experiences or background or something that just brings a different light into it. And the ability to put it into our words and process it through our own thoughts, it's not just an intellectual thing. That's how it gets deep into our heart, that we really believe this and grasp this because we've wrestled with it. And to me, that's been the greatest joy.
Well, and how many of the conversations didn't we have where we're like, we just wish we would have recorded this so we could share it with others? Because I think it took me a long time to grow in my ability to articulate what I wanted to say or to explain. And that became so much easier when I could hear someone do it first and kind of have that mull over in my brain a little bit and then practice with someone else. And I think that that's, if we could share that, you know, in almost like a springboard or a model, or, you know, I think that that's the additional blessing of this kind of project.
And to have a safe place to just be able to share our hearts and go, you know, if I'm not right about this, correct me, let's talk about it. How can I say that more clearly? And just, it's just an honest conversation where we're all intending to grow.
And I think it comes out in the devotions, because like even in the first one, it points out that the whole series is intended to guide and assist the reader in spending time in the word. And that comes through in both in the devotional or the biblical devotional emails, as well as the more application emails of continually taking people back to the word and saying, as you look to understand the principle and as you look to apply it right, finally, the answer is still back in God's word. And so we taking the reader back to God's word. At least in the first email, we kind of brush up against both the biblical principle of the callings of men and women, as well as sort of touching on just the applications just a bit. Why is it so important in your eyes to see the differentiation between both what a principle is in the Bible and what an application of that principle is? And maybe especially since we're talking about it in the context of the callings of men and women, especially when it comes to that conversation, why is it important to differentiate between principle and application?
I would say the first thing for sure is because biblical principles are timeless, and we need to know exactly what still applies to our unique callings today. That's super, super important. What is timeless? What do we still hold to as it was originally written in the time and place that it was written? Applications are not. Applications are, we'll see this in a future devotion, things that can change from time to time, from place to place, from person to person, from congregation to congregation. And so if you don't know the difference between the principles and the applications, it's easy to make a law where God has not. Or go to the flip side, say that this is a place where we can be flexible, where in fact we can't.
And I love the fact that when you separate the two and you really understand that, it helps clear up a lot of things, even in other principles and applications of scripture. Again, it's that mentoring or modeling or understanding that there are principles in God's word, and I want to understand them. I want to dig into them. And I, you know, as I was reading this devotion and, you know, at the beginning, that understanding, I think you have that you, when you tell people you belong to the Wells, I commonly hear that's the church that doesn't let women dot, 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 you know? And so I think what's hard is I am proud of my synod, and I am proud of its unapologetic, you know, biblical truth and standing on what God's word has to say. I love our ministry spirit of spreading God's word. There are so many good things. And I think I just want, you know, that clearly to be shared in a way that's really just going to, again, let God's word speak and be more reflective of that's what our synod it does and is proud of all the good things that is done and said.
Right, because we do struggle with the application piece. And I think sometimes we even fail to stop those conversations and say, do we really know why we're having this conversation? Do we understand the biblical principle? What is the reason
that we are considering this right now? Why is it that we're looking at how to what to do in this situation or how we can do this? And it's so easy for us to just want to focus on the answer and just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And then we expect it's always going to look the same. And what is the solution to that? And I think we've hit on it in that you go back to God's word and you uncover what did God say about this? What is God's design? What's the intention? Like Christy was saying, what is timeless? What is absolutely unchanging? And to see that so clearly that we can embrace it and long for it, then our question and application isn't, it doesn't feel confining. It doesn't feel like we're reacting to something. It feels like we want to move forward with this. We want to see how we can live this design and embrace God's truth in the fullest way possible. And now it becomes a positive conversation. And I just think that's one of the great things that we've got here moving forward.
I think the one other thing to add is if you don't understand the principles, if you're not agreed upon the principles, there is no solid foundation laid for talking about the applications. And that's why it's so important to start with, this is what God's word says. This is our place of agreement. Now we can talk about the applications.
Right.
And what's neat is when you start talking about the principles, you quickly begin to realize that these are things that God hasn't put in our lives to make our lives difficult or hard. But that instead, as with all of the principles and things that God tells us to do, they're ultimately for our good and meant to be a blessing to us, which then completely changes the conversation around application of being able to see how is God using the calling he has given to me as a man or as a woman as a blessing, not only to me, but to my church body, to my congregation and to my witness to the world around us. That being said, the application of that at times is a bit of a struggle because it's really hard to, the principle at times can be, and with any principle in scripture, the principle can be clearly seen, but now how do you apply that in a world that's full of sinners can be much, much more difficult. So thinking of it in the context of both blessing and struggle, I guess, how have you seen this blessing be, or this doctrine be a blessing in your life? I guess, how have you struggled with it? I'll kind of let you guys take the conversation wherever you want to.
I would want to start by talking about the blessing, because I think it's so easy for us to talk about the frustrations and the struggles. But I think when you get to this point of truly embracing the principle and saying, I get it. I understand what it is that God wants in this interdependence that we have as men and women. I understand the picture that he's offering in the home and in the church and in society, this picture that honors him and points to his image and draws people to see that he is a good and gracious God. And when you can get excited about that and see how it works, it is such an incredible blessing. And for me personally, that started in the home. I can't live that in society or even do it in my church if I don't have it right at home. And so those attitudes and that partnership and understanding of how does my husband lead and what does that look like? When I have that good picture and it's healthy, then it makes the rest of the pieces a little easier to understand. And quite honestly, it also gives me just that insight that it's not always perfect at home, that sometimes there are struggles at home. And so guess what? There's still going to be struggles in church and there's going to be struggles in society. But I've learned through that, just those experiences, that it's a good thing. Stick with it. You know what you know. Go back to the word. Be encouraged by that. Be compelled by that and stop reacting to the things that don't work well and feeling like I've got to fix this. I don't. I have to go back to the principle and delight in this and pursue it. And that really gives good guidance.
And I think too, part of the blessing for me personally is just recognizing that it is a partnership, you know, that this isn't just me having to figure this all out with God's word on my own, that when you have a principle of head helper and there's application and, or I should say principle and application that you're working through, that there is another entity, another person, another group, another people. And again, that's why we're doing this conversation, because this isn't just me and God's word figuring this out. It is recognizing the blessing of fellowship and God's kingdom and the body of Christ coming together to honor him through all of our actions. And so how can we do this? And for me, that's where the blessing has come. It's like it's opened my eyes to see what the possibilities could be when God's design is really put into practice. And then I guess even following up on that, where sin is really the guilty party, you know, where the world, you know, the devil, all of the things that take away from the beauty that God designed, you know, become much more apparent when I'm looking at God's design and working with others to see what God's design is.
And I would say for me, playing off of that as well, partnership is such a big thing for me. I'm a single female, so my partnership comes out more in the church. I'm in a new position of part-time communications coordinator, and it has been so much fun to partner with my pastors in terms of male and female perspectives. It's been really interesting to see. It's one of the first times that I've worked almost exclusively with males, and I think it's been one of the first times that they've worked with a female in an official capacity in our current congregation setting. And I love seeing how we complement each other. Sometimes it's male and female, sometimes it's not. But I love seeing how we complement each other and come together and bring different perspectives to the table. That's also the place where I struggle with it, because I am a single female in a church where I can't vote and I can't do other things that maybe I feel like I should be able to. And so that's my struggle in terms of what can I do? What can't I do? What is beneficial for the church? What should I do? What shouldn't I? Those are questions that I wrestle with often, and I look forward to helping readers wrestle with some of those questions this summer too.
I appreciate that honesty, Christy, because I think it is so true that we have questions and we do want to serve and we do wonder where the boundaries are. But one of the things too that I love about this conversation, not just that it's safe, but also this idea that we want this because we want the kingdom to grow. That this is about developing the partnership. It's about serving so that our churches grow, so that the gospel is spread, so that the love of Christ is shared. And that's our desire. And I think that then it's okay for us to wrestle and ask those questions, because we really are seeking the growth of the kingdom. And we're looking to the word for the direction, and wanting to desire God's will in the end and the glory of his kingdom. And so we've got those two things in place. And so we get to have this conversation in the middle. I just think it's fantastic.
I would also hope and pray that other people who have struggled or realize the blessings can feel a partnership here. You know, that they aren't alone in that struggle. They aren't alone with celebrating the blessings, that there are other people who have experienced both sides, struggles and blessings. And so we walk together to God's word to find the answer.
And I think the last thing I would add is I also would like to make it okay for us to have those struggles. As long as you're not actively rebelling, as long as you're not completely discounting the principle, as long as you're saying, yes, I am struggling, but I'm working on this and I'm trying to be in the word and I'm trying to figure it out with God's help, with the help of my fellow brothers and sisters, it is okay to have those struggles. And I really want to convey that it's okay to wrestle with this. It's okay if you don't have it all figured out.
I'm going to come right back at you, Christy, since you were the one that kind of laid out the outline for our devotions and things. Maybe give a sneak preview of some of the things that people can expect in the next couple of weeks as far as where these email devotions and the discussion as far as an application of those principles, where is it going?
Yep, absolutely. So it's important to go back to the very beginning. We'll take you back to the Garden of Eden next week and remind you of where these roles first started, where these unique callings first came from. It's easy to focus on the differences between men and women, but before we can do that, and there are differences and we do want to look at the differences in our callings, but before we can do that, we want to look at our equal status before God. So we're going to take you through, again, Garden of Eden, fall into sin. What does this mean for us as redeemed children of God? And then the second half of the summer is kind of going to go more into, okay, where does the rubber really meet the road? How does this show up in the New Testament? what are the directives in the New Testament that are principle, that are timeless? What are the ones that are applications that we no longer hold to? How do we tell what the difference between those is? What does this look like for you in the home? What does it look like for you in the church? What does it look like for you in the world? Does this even apply in the world? Our world would absolutely say no. What would we say? How does this show itself in a world where we're not blessed to be surrounded by the body of Christ? And so our goal is to go all the way from the beginning to life today, to what does this look like for you in your home, in your church, in your world, and helping you to have those conversations.
Well, that's a pretty good hook. Now I'm going to want to read at least the rest of the devotions, and then, you know, hopefully you'll join us after each of our emails to hear a little bit further discussion on that particular devotion's either principle or the application of it on the next couple of weeks. And so you can grow together with us as we look and reflect on the unique callings that God has given to us.